hand over to Brother Alan this evening. The only thing that, one we have just kind of heard the verses off lately, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Satan's life.
Checking if this is on, but it's not.
Hold on 1 second. I wanted to use the microphone because I didn't want to shout. I can't use the same force as my Tommy has. But I'd love to.
I think that's me now. Is that too loud at the back? Is it okay? Yes? Right. I can't, I have to be totally honest and very, very nervous to do this. I see Barry there as well. There's many people here who came to support me, and I really, really am so much appreciative of it. As I said, what I want to do first of all is say a little prayer, please. I have a few notes here that I want to try and find my way, but hopefully with the Lord, the Holy Spirit will guide me. So I want to open with a little prayer. All heads bowed and all eyes closed, please. My Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for your guidance, Lord. Reaching out to Mark Anderson a few weeks ago and getting me here tonight, giving me the opportunity and sharing my testimony with my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to thank Pastor Tommy, Gary, Bobby and John, and for everybody here to make me so welcome over this past couple of weeks here to Mega Ministries this evening. I pray that the Holy Spirit fulfills us all, and may someone's soul be touched and opened to the salvation tonight. All praise, the glory is our Lord God, and through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. If I can play just one wee small song, I've asked her, can I play one wee small song that It touches my soul. So I want to apply it to people in the audience. Hope there's no directions here from the satna. I have to apologize. Disconnect this now. I just want you to listen to this song. As I said, this song means an awful lot to me. And it really does resonate with my heart and my soul whenever I find the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hopefully it's not too loud.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone, for having the patience to listen to that. It really reminisces with my soul, really, really does. It brings me to tears every time that I hear that. It brings my heart and my soul so much fulfillment from the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. There may be a few tears up here. I can't help that myself. As I said, I was even speaking to my brother Barry there in the gym about the Lord, Saviour Jesus Christ, and how he's affected my life. But I can't help who I am. I have a new heart. I have a new soul. And I've been born again through the precious blood of my Lord and my Saviour, Jesus Christ. I want to give you a wee bit of information, a wee bit of history about myself. So I'm going to read a wee bit of this because I've prepared this all. So I want to read a wee bit of it. Alan McGill, as a lot of people know, who don't know who I am, I'm Alan McGill. I'm 54 years old this June, the 1st. And in my younger days, my dad made sure that I went to Kilpeik Sunday School every Sunday. I love going to Kilpeik Sunday School with Rolly McAdam. He lifted me, my brother, my sisters, and we were taught verses there of the Bible, singing gospel songs, listening attentively to Rob Furley, his brother David McBride, Sammy Dawson, and stories of the Bible. I was brought up, as I said, from 3 years of age to 16 years old with the gospel and the brethren in Banbridge. Kilpeik Sunday School, as I said, in the gospel hall there in beside the Orange Hall there in Banbridge. Sammy Dawson preached to us as a child with so much heartfelt emotion that tears would come down his face every Sunday. That stayed with me and embedded in my soul all the days of my life, that someone could be so passionate about children and spreading the gospel, trying to find souls that are saved. If this testimony of mine could enter one soul, that the Lord can plant a seed in your heart, in your soul, to find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior as he did mine, then I'll be truly blessed today. At 18 years old, I loved going to the gym. That was my life. At 18 years of age, I loved going to the gym, in which I met some amazing men. Big Tom there for one, and his brother Big Ian, Big Rock, being one of them as well, who sure is in loving and looking over us all tonight, and is greatly and so sadly missed. I went out a few times to the bars and clubs in my time as well, but I would have spent more money in Friar Tux maybe after a night out instead of on the drink. I wasn't a heavy drinker. I've never ever smoked in my life either, and I never did drugs. I was a doorman for 25 years, so I was watching people enjoying themselves and taking a drink and all the rest, so I had much time or a taste of the drink, but if I did have a wee drink, it was very, very little. This is a statement here before I start my testimony, that I was angry with God over so many, many things that happened over so many years. I blame God for my sister's fiancé, Philip Ballin, and his best friend, Damien Trainer, from Points Pass. They were so innocently and brutally murdered during the Troubles on March the 3rd, 1998. I know that the Lord could not have prevented that awful night, and that Satan played a part in their innocent murders, but I was still so bitter and so angry in my heart. On the 27th of June, 2014, I lost a son called Joshua. He died in his mother's womb at 20 weeks old, and then having to be induced and brought into this world asleep, I held my son in my hand, in the palm of my hand, and although he's only 20 weeks old, I loved him, and my heart was broken. Understandably, I was upset and angry and didn't find comfort with God. Maybe even blaming God that he could have saved his precious life. Many years passed and I still held bitterness in my heart. I tried to prepare my relationship with God and I researched the Gospels. I listened to Billy Graham and I watched documentaries on the Bible. I then fell in love with my beautiful wife, Beverly. He was saved and born again and a follower of Jesus Christ. And she prayed for me that I could find salvation. She told me she prayed for me for 5 years that I would find the Lord as my Savior. Any time I would listen to the gospel or watch anything about Jesus, my heart would break. I would become very emotional, upset and tearful on how I felt that the Lord God and his Son Jesus Christ had abandoned me. That's what I thought. I would watch The Chosen, and the tears would come down my face whenever Jesus healed the leper. He made the paralyzed man walk. The woman who bled for 12 years, and Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has healed you." Also, whenever Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, they all brought me to tears. My wife had been sitting beside me watching those, and the tears, the tears would run down my face, And she was nudging me and get on, and as I said, I couldn't help it. I couldn't control the emotions that the Lord had put in my soul, that the Lord was trying to reach out to me. I've been going to the gym now about 40 years, and my friends and the Lord know how much I enjoy it. February 2025, last year, I took a really bad turn in the gym, in the leisure centre at the time. After a workout, I became very, very unwell. My clothes were saturated with sweat, and believe me, when I go to the gym, I never sweat in the gym. I don't train hard enough to sweat. My clothes were completely saturated. The paramedics were called. They put an ECG on me and all the rest. They bothered to take me to Craigavon or Daisy Hill. And I said, "No, listen, I just want to go home." My wife was there at the time. And as I said, I had a near-death experience. I don't know, I don't want to mention about people feeling completely drunk, but that's how I felt, as if I was completely drunk. It wasn't a dizzy experience. It was a complete out-of-body experience for an hour. Lasted for an hour. The symptoms did. I went home, went to bed for 3 hours, 3.5 hours, got up, had another very small spell, but after that, I was okay. Praise the Lord that I'm still here. I had several MRIs on the heart, dye tests and brain scans and so on, and everything seemed to come up clear. By the grace of God, nothing was found. But looking back now, and the Lord had pre-warned me that if I was to die a sinner, my soul would be in hell for eternity. That's what I believed before I was saved. A few weeks later, after that scare, I had seen a large sign on the side of a car in Tesco's. Massive big sign. And it was a big white sign and massive red or orange fluorescent letters. It said John 3:3. I've seen that for 3 or 4 days down in Tesco's car park. I went home and I opened the Bible very, very quickly. What is that? What is that? And I understand it was whenever Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. On Monday the 12th of May 2025, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I stayed in the kitchen of my house. I was off work for that day. And feeling upset and alone, with my heart breaking and tears running down my face, because I had not found Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I wanted to mend my relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I knew that I was a sinner and I was going to spend eternity in hell. That's if I didn't change my life and believe in Jesus Christ. I prayed to God, firstly, through the Lord's Prayer. And after I prayed that, I prayed to Jesus Christ. I know there's a mediator between God and man, which is the Lord Christ Jesus. I prayed through Jesus Christ, asking Jesus to forgive my bitterness in losing my son Joshua, and also asking the Lord to give my daddy, my dad Billy, who's 87 years old, strength to overcome this severe crippling pain that he has in his knees. He's suffering with pain over these past 10 years. I prayed for the two innocent men, Philip Allen and his best friend, Damon Traynor, who were brutally murdered in Pines Pass. Philip Allen was like a brother to me. And my dear sister, Carol, has lost her husband and an entire future family in her life. It was okay. You can hear me okay at the back. I asked the Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ, into my life and to forgive my sins. I understood that Jesus bore all my sins on the cross of Calvary. And I believed with all my heart and all my soul that on the third day, Jesus overcame death and was resurrected from the tomb by his Father, Lord God in heaven. I pray to the Lord to guide me, give me strength to find salvation through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then I forgot about it. The tears had dried up. I carried on with the day. It was a beautiful, sunny day. And I seemed to put it in the back of my mind. Wife came home from work. Beautiful, glorious day. We'll take the dogs out for a walk. So they were walking the dogs that evening. And like so many, many evenings before, I noticed and discussed with my wife why the house numbers in the row of houses where we live was a 12 and a 12A. It doesn't sound very, very, you know, that it means anything at the moment. But we were standing there and we were guided. I was guided and my wife was guided to look at these numbers in these houses. I understood this was the 12th of May and there was no number 13 on the door of 12A and 14. And we thought it was very strange that maybe 13 was unlucky. So waking up on the Tuesday morning, the 13th day, I was off work. So just like any other day, I went to the gym and I'd listen to the gospel music to give me strength and power in the gym. I speak Jesus from Charity. Charity Gale would be my favourite. And now I've opened up my collection to many, many more. But as I said, the music I would have previously listened to was the AC/DC, Iron Maiden and Metallica and so on. I used to love heavy rock music. So finishing the gym, I went out to see Patrick on my pushback to see my dad, Billy. And then later that afternoon, I went out to see him again. It was a beautiful sunny day. And then about 3:30, I went back into Wambridge. And about 4:05 in the afternoon, I went up to see my sister, Ciara, in the Richmond. So I was going home to get late lunch. But it says I'll go up and see Ciara first, up to the Richmond Bakery. After seeing her, I was going to turn and go home, which would take me back down the town again, take me down to the bottom of the town, down the hill as such. But something in my heart and something in my soul made me turn left and go up the town, up towards the War Memorial, the opposite way that I should be going. I came across two gentlemen handing out Christian tracts just beside the Patrice restaurant. And I asked them about their sign, because I seen their sign, John 3:3. I told them that I'd seen it on a car in Tesco's car park several times that week, that previous week. I knew it was from the gospel. And as I was taught the gospel in my younger life, from 3 years old until I was 16, in Quebec Sunday School, in the gospel hall. The man said to me, "Do you know the gospel?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "I know it a little bit. I know John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16, he said. I says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The two men then asked me, "Was I saved?" And I replied to the two men, shamefully, that I wasn't. I'm not saved. But getting very upset and emotional and embarrassed in the busy street, there was people walking up and down the street, and the tears were running down my face, because I knew that I was a sinner. I said to the two men, "I prayed to the Lord yesterday before 4 p.m. and I wanted the salvation of Jesus Christ." The two men then hugged me and confronted me and told me that the reason I was so upset is because the Lord was working on me and filling me with the Holy Spirit. The two men then asked if I wanted to pray with them on the street. Being embarrassed, I wasn't sure, but then I said that I would. Still with so much emotion, filled with emotion and tears running down my face, I repeated the words of the prayer that the gentleman wanted me to repeat after them. It was, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins on the cross at Calvary and rose from the dead on the third day. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. And in Jesus' name, amen." That's the prayer that I responded with, and then was asked me to say. I understand that's the sinner's prayer. My heart was still busting so much out of my chest, so much emotion, and the tears were still coming down my face. And I was so embarrassed because the town was so busy, as I said. And I thanked the two men. And they hugged me, and I asked the men about Jesus. I asked about the gospel. I asked about salvation. After saying goodbye to the men, I asked the two gentlemen their names, and the first man was called Joshua. I shook his hand, he was called Joshua. And the second man, he was sitting on the wee seat, the tears running down his face as well, his name was Billy. Joshua was the name of my son, who had lost many, many years ago, and Billy is the dad that I prayed to the Lord, to Jesus, the day before. I said to the two men, I said, listen, this is a powerful coincidence, isn't it? That I prayed to the Lord yesterday that I would have forgiveness for the Lord, blaming the Lord that he could have saved the life of my son, Joshua. And the man says, listen, there's no coincidence at all. We were supposed to be in Belfast today. We're not meant to be in Banbridge. He says, we're here to guide you. We're here to meet you today and to save your soul. I was a sinner who had found the Lord God and his son Jesus Christ that day, the 13th day of May 2025. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, come into my soul, and come into my life on the 12th day, to help me cope and find comfort from the death of my son Joshua, and to give my dad Billy strength from his pain and suffering. The missing house number 13 came to my attention as it was on the 13th day that I had found my Lord and my Saviour. I believe that the Lord guided me that day to meet those two angels called Joshua and Billy so that I could find my faith and salvation in Jesus Christ. John 3:3 is a verse in the Bible which Jesus tells Nicodemus, very, very truly, I tell you, no man can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. As I said, I was saved 10 months ago. I'm a different person, of a different heart, a different mind, a different soul. And I truly believe in the power of prayer. I never believed in prayer before. I was reaching out to a brother, Mark. Where's Mark? I was reaching out to Mark, and I told Mark a few things in my life. And as I said, I'll share these things with these people as well, because there's a lot of things in my life that there's a testimony to prayer. I never thought prayer would work, but I found that any time I reached out to the Lord and prayed, that the Lord showed me guidance. I had my brother Jeffrey, me and my brother Jeffrey, never seen eye to eye for maybe 6 years. My wife there can confirm that. He would never raise the hand, he would never speak. And whenever I became a Christian, whenever I became saved, I reached out in prayer to the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Jeffrey never spoke to me for six years. And I prayed to the Lord to open his soul. I says, Lord, open the soul of my brother Jeffrey, that I can have a loving, caring relationship with him that we used to have. And it was maybe 2 days later, I think he sent Mark the same message. There was a gospel, this guy like a bit ZZ Top, long big beard and all the rest. It was a gospel song, and it reached out to me at 5:15 in the morning. And I says, goodness me, why did he send me that? And on Sunday morning, I was at the gym, going to my sister's for lunch at 1:00. Jeffrey came to the door of the gym to train. And I says, what are you doing? But, oh, all good, all good. And his student spoke to me for an hour and a half. I hadn't spoken to the fella in 6 years. An hour and a half. So I wanted to touch on something that Tommy and Samuel touched on last week. I truly believe I've been guided here today, guided tonight through Mark. I reached out to Mark. And as I said, I want to touch on something that Tommy and Samuel preached last week about the Lord forgiving our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, my wife knows this story. Suzanne knows this story. But I want to share this with the rest of you in this parish tonight. This here, Tommy and Samuel said to me last week really resonated within my soul and really convicted me last Sunday. It brought me to tears last Sunday. As I said, I'm not ashamed to share tears. I'd never felt forgiveness in my heart ever. And I prayed to the Lord. Tommy was preaching about forgiveness, forgiving trespasses. Samuel was the same. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? I prayed to the Lord that evening. I prayed to the Lord in the morning, and the Lord said to me, listen, you need to forgive. The people who murdered, I'm not going to mention names, but the people who murdered Philip Allen, who meant the world to me, I was a child. The person who murdered him in cold blood, I says, I have to meet this person and forgive him. As I understand, Jesus was on the cross. They whipped Jesus. They put a crown of thorns on his head, as Tommy said this morning. They ripped all his clothes off. They spat on him. They ripped his beard. They hated him. Hated him. His hands were nailed to the cross. There's a spike put through his feet. A crown of thorns on his head. And a spear into his side. And as the Lord and Savior died on that cross, he asked the Father to forgive them, for they knew not what to do. He was showing us to forgive. I reached out to the person who took the lives of Philip Allen and Damien Traynor in Points Pass 28 years ago. I went to the door of the house. My heart was breaking. I went to the door. And I said, I don't want to rake up the past here. I was talking to the person's wife. But it's the person here. And they said, no, he's at work. I says, I want to come in here. I want to speak to the person. And I want to forgive them what they've done 28 years ago for taking an innocent life of two men. I said, it resonates with me. It affected my life. It affected my sister's life. It affected a lot of people in the community who really loved those two men. And that person wasn't there. So I said, listen, can I leave my number? Can I leave my name? Certainly. I never thought the person would contact me again. And the phone rang on Thursday afternoon. And I says, hello. Is that all? I says, it is. This is such and such. I says, such and such. I didn't know who it was. You reached out to talk to me. I says, listen, I did. I says, I'm not going to rake up the past to you. What you've done is, I believe Satan has put these guys in a position to take life. But I says, that was 28 years ago. I says, I found the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I've been saved and washed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I says, I'm here to forgive you. And I says, listen, he answered back and said, listen, I didn't know what to say to you. I held off for 2 days to speak to you because I hadn't got the courage to speak to you. I didn't know what to say. And I says, just open your heart. And he said that if he could take anything back, he would put himself in that position. He would have died for those two men. If he could take it all back, he was sorry, he was remorseful. I could hear the tears in coming down when he was talking to me. And I says, I totally believe you. I totally believe you. I says, I'm going to be judged one day. When I stand in front of the Lord is going to judge me. And what resonated with me was from Tommy and Samuel, that I would judge. The Lord will say, forgive them their trespasses. You never forgive that fella who trespassed against you. I can say now to the Lord that I've forgiven him. I want to finish up now just for something very, very, very small. I want to thank everybody again. As I said, Mauro means a lot to me, and I'm really, really appreciated and glad you could come here. Excuse me. Everybody else, the little bit of me, everybody who's supporting here and came tonight, and I really do hope and bless the Lord that he touches somebody's soul. I wrote a statement at the bottom here, and it says, I am truly born again, washed with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's blood, when he shed his blood and bore all my sins at the cross of Calvary. Amen. Thank you.
Stand our feet. I'm not going to preach as a sermon. I had no idea how long Alan was going to be, and I didn't want him to cut it short, to give me any time, and if he did, that was all right. But I think enough's been said, and I don't want to take away from what's been said. Sometimes you can get up behind somebody and preach a big sermon, and it's not doing any more because the Lord's really spoke. And I really believe the Lord's changed on and touched on and is using on. And now everybody in this meeting, the normally comes here is going to know what I'm going to say here. On the following week after I said it, I had to repent on the pulpit. Because I said, it's never that I've seen a man, God getting a man at 50 and using him. He always gets them young. And then the next week I seen Alan out preaching on the street. And God said to me, what are you going to do with that? Because Alan's coming 54, he just said. So I tell you, God just showed me God can take anybody at any time, at any age. And I remember when God worked with Moses, when he sent him to Egypt, he was 80. 40 years he was in Egypt. Then he was 40 years out of Egypt in the backside of the desert. Then he was the next 40 years with God, serving God. Now, Alan has shared with you the gospel tonight that Jesus saves. And the Lord's truly transformed Alan's life. And look, the other week, me and Samuel didn't get together and have a plan what we would say and what we would preach. I prayed at home in secret. And whatever I felt to preach, I preached. And Samuel did the same, and he preached whatever he felt to preach. But it just happened to be that the Lord had a message for somebody, and he was telling them twice in the one day. And the Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let God's word be established. I'm not going to go on tonight. I believe Alan has said enough, and I don't want to, you know, hold you too long. But I want to give opportunity in this service. If you're not saved, salvation's so simple. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and be saved. If you feel you want to get saved, don't leave the night. You can talk to me or talk to Alan or one of us after the service. And we'll point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord bless you. God bless you all. And he's done well, because I know I'm doing it a long time and I still get nervous. And I'll say this, if the preacher's not, has no emotions, he's near better not preaching at all. And I believe that. When you think you can do something on your own steam, it never works too good. We all need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's help. And I'm so glad Alan's come tonight and all the support and everything. And the Lord bless you, brother. Lord bless you, and the Lord bless each one. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come in now, because there's no more preaching on now. We've a wee bit of time, so we can sing a couple of songs. And if anybody wants prayer here before this meeting's over, you come up and we'll pray for you as well. Or if you want to do it after the service, just feel free either way at all. We'll do it, because God answers prayer. The Lord answers prayer. So wonderful the things God's done, you know. An answer in prayer. The Lord bless you. Go ahead, Brother Gary. And we'll be back on Thursday night at 7:30 here for prayer and Bible study. Come along. And Brother Gary's going to preach after the service here tonight. If any of us want to go along as well, our brother's having another service tonight to preach. Pray for Brother Gary. And next Sunday, Brother John will be preaching in the morning, myself in the evening. We don't know how long we've got. Alan had a bit of a scare. My brother, his wife rang me, told us to get to the hospital, it was urgent, and I honestly thought she was joking me. I could not take it in. I couldn't take it in. 50 years of age, gone. So don't you think I have plenty of time, because you don't know how long you have. It's only God that knows how long we have. You need to be ready. And it's so simple to get ready. All you have to do is call on the Lord. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Well, that was really powerful, wasn't it? You know, there's so much power in forgiveness. And that really was a highlight for me. You know, it really shows that God does something really when you have the power to forgive, you're set free. And you know, sometimes I remember hearing testimonies of different ones, that things happened, that I ask myself, could I have done it? You know, we take it for granted sometimes we're Christians, and maybe not, thank God we're not in situations like that, but I really think it's remarkable when somebody's in a situation like that to reach out and forgive. I think that's tremendous. God bless you, Brother Alan. We're going to sing a chorus, and then we're going to sing a hymn. We're going to sing that little chorus. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Praise God. Something beautiful, something good, all of my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something. In his word, how he feeds a little bird, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If this world from you withholds all this silver and its gold, then you have to get along with bigger men. Thank you. again, just invite anybody. If anybody wants to come for prayer, for healing or salvation, or whatever it would be, guidance, just a word from the Lord. If you want to come, and we'll pray for you. We'd rather to pray for you if you want to make your way to the front. Or if you want, again, just to leave it till after everyone's gone, feel free to do that. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controlled, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Since I started,